I think it helped the profession to understand that they could make a significant contribution. Their skills that they developed before they went away and enhanced while they were overseas were in use, but not every medical practitioner in the country was aware of the usefulness of physiotherapists, and quite a lot of them talked about how difficult it was to make a living at that time. In the major hospitals, they were still honorees on the whole. Some were employed, but not a vast number, and many were expected to work as honorary practitioners in the same way as medical practitioners worked as honorees. And if you look at the old annual reports of hospitals, they will list medical honorary staff, the physiotherapy honorary staff, and usually a dentist in the honorary staff, which is really interesting to see. So they were not considered anywhere near as important as the medical practitioners, of course, but they were important enough to have themselves, you know, on page one or two of hospital annual reports.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your book, Science in Our Hands, 1895 to 2010, the University of Melbourne. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and its genesis and some of the work that went into the book?
Yes, David. Look, thank you. I suppose I've always been interested in history, and there has been very little physiotherapy history written. Fortunately now, it is becoming a topic of interest for a number of physiotherapists. But at the time, there had been almost nothing written about the history of physiotherapy education. So although, of course, it overlaps with the wider history of the professional organisations, of which we did have an Australian one written. Philip Bentley essentially wrote that book, and I was on the reference committee for that. So that also helped me become more interested in writing history. And education, yes, received a little bit of attention then, but the more recent story of education at Melbourne, of course, it only went up to 1980, Philip's book, so it didn't have what had happened since. And there wasn't the detail about education either. So I hadn't had the opportunity to do my PhD beforehand. I was far too busy trying to ensure that all my staff had the opportunity to do that. And so when I retired, I enrolled in a PhD in the history and philosophy of science in the Faculty of Arts at the university. And with the assistance of one of Australia's most celebrated historians, Professor Janet McCalman, and with Dr. James Bradley, embarked on a PhD. So I had a wonderful time then really getting into the archives. So that culminated in the PhD, which you're aware of, and then spending a year pulling the book together on the basis of that earlier thesis.
Yes. So maybe give us a bit of an outline of the thesis project and the argument you set out in the text.
Okay. Look, within the story of education, I was thinking about the sorts of things that make a physiotherapist, how our identities are constructed, how we embody the profession of physiotherapy. What is it that makes us become physiotherapists? And I didn't think we could do that without looking at the professional story behind it. And it was wonderful to explore oral histories, which fortunately had been collected mostly in the latter part of the 1980s, including my own at that time, which was fairly limited then. Mm. But there was 122 oral histories that the APA had collected on Victorian physiotherapists. So I explored that archive a lot. I went into the University of Melbourne archives where there is archival material about physiotherapy. And I also explored the dusty shelves where the other APA material was held. And I found photographs and I found old minute books, and I found information about an earlier association, the Victorian Massage Association, which was a rival association. So I found lots of stuff. But I also read, as you can imagine, a lot of theory. It was difficult to decide how to go along with the theory components. In the process, I read your thesis, I read Beth Linker's thesis, I read Philippa Marta's thesis, I read a number of other theses, thinking about, well, how would I write my own? But I think physiotherapists embody a unique style of learning, which is what helps them develop their professional identity. Mm. And I think, and I can elaborate on that a little bit if you like.
Mm, please do.
Okay. I think what's different about physiotherapy education, and you can contrast it with medicine or occupational therapy or speech or nursing, just about any of the other health professional education. Physiotherapists, certainly in the whole period that I was writing about, 1895 to 2010, physiotherapists were privileged to learn on the bodies of the dead. Physiotherapists learned anatomy through dissection. We all did dissection for a couple of years. It was something that you did virtually every working day of the week. And so you teased out the nerves, the arteries, the insertions and origins of muscles. You went into the brain, you went into the gut, you went into the reproductive organs, you got right down to the stage of pulling apart the joints, cutting the ligaments that held the joints together. It was absolute absorption in the dissecting room. Often things were cut that shouldn't have been, and you weren't quite sure what was what, certainly not in the first few weeks where it was all pretty confronting. But most people were really absorbed with anatomy, and that came through nearly every oral history and every conversation I had with over 50 people I interviewed myself. We did physiology. We had to pith toads, a terrible thing to do. But we learned about nerve muscle preparations, and we did lots of other stuff on ourselves. But so coming to ourselves, I think a critical part of physiotherapy education is the learning that you do on yourself and one another. The intrusion into personal space starts to occur incredibly quickly in physio education. So students have to learn how to be respectful of one another, but they certainly handle one another. So they learn on their colleagues. It's a true embodiment. So that's essentially on the healthy. But then they're privileged to learn on those that are ill and unhealthy. And again, that gift that's given to us by patients, particularly when we are students, is something that, yes, medicine and nursing and OT and speech get that as well. But our handling is an interactive handling with the patient. We expect something from the patient and they expect something from us. And that perhaps differs to just about what everybody else does as well. Medical students don't do things on one another, much as I've tried to promote that at my university. They might take blood pressure, but they don't handle one another and experience what it's like to be a patient, truly to be a patient, whereas the physios do. So that's something that continues in continuing education as well and postgraduate education with physios. They continue to learn on one another. So others have described that as body work, and it is. So that's, I think, a contrast and a particular privilege about physiotherapy education.
Thank you.
I've probably gone off the track now, David.
So no, not at all. No, but my last question was just about the title of the book, the reference to science in our hands. Where does the title come from and why that?
I don't know that it's come from anywhere else. I mean, I may have heard it at some stage, but...
I meant as much, in your own mind as when you choose a title for a piece like that.
Where did it come from? Physio's foundation was science. In the early part of the book, I quote people like Professor Richard Berry, who was the professor of anatomy, and he said he thought how he didn't use these words, but he expressed a view that it was just wonderful that physiotherapists, which he called massage in those days, was based on science. He was particularly enthused that it was the science of anatomy. But Professor William Osborne was equally pleased that it was based on the science of physiology. And so they were along with pathology, they were the three foundation sciences for physio. So it was there from 1906 onwards. But we have learned with our own research over the last few decades that the science is in our hands. What we do with our hands has a basis in evidence-based research or evidence-based science. So I thought it encapsulated physio myself.
Well... thank you, Joan. It's been lovely talking to you about the book, and congratulations on its publication. We'll put information about the book onto the history site, which is already there, but also links to the publishers and places where people can get copies of the book. Having read a fair amount of the work that's gone into the book, I can heartily recommend it to people who are looking for a very detailed but really beautifully written history of physiotherapy at University of Melbourne. So congratulations again, and thanks again for the time to have this conversation.
Well, thank you, David. I would like to encourage others to think about the history of their profession in their countries. I think there are many things that could be written about physiotherapy, and we are not good at keeping and recording our histories. So please encourage everybody else to think about that, keep their personal histories, but keep their country histories as well.
A fine message to end on. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you, David.